from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. This is 30 Laps or Dick. I'm Richard Lyon. Well, this week, it's not a total eclipse of the heart, or a piece of my heart. Certainly not a cheating heart. No, never. Nor a heartbreaker. Or no heart of gold, Mr. Neil Young. Or a beat of my heart. I'm not a foolish heart or a heart of glass. A sheer heart attack, maybe. Or maybe you're just in my heart. Perhaps you could put a little love in my heart, like the fantastic Reverend Al Green. Or have a Rolling Stones heartbreaker. But you can't stop dragging your heart around, because this week we go heart to heart. We don't have anywhere near enough stories on 30 Laps with women as the prime focus. Well, this week we do, and long overdue it is, because anyone who has a heart would set their controls for the heart of the sun with Pink Floyd. And like Pink Floyd, we meet the president and CEO of Ford Australia New Zealand, Kay Hart, otherwise known as the Queen of Hearts. This week on 30 Laps. We also look at the W Series, fast women on wheels, the lot of them. And last but not least, actually faster than all of them, nine famous fast females. No porcelain hearts here, thank you. So let our gypsy hearts not become achy-breaky hearts. Let's always be young at heart, hey Frank? And like Lily, Rosemary and the Jack of Hearts, let's comb our hair and take the carriage into town. Enough already. We're tangled up in blue. The Blue Oval, that is. The big boss of the Blue Oval, Kay Hart. Anyway, enough. It took so long to open the show, we've barely got time for the content. So let's get started, hey? From drive.co.nz, from the 10th of March, how Kay Hart will save Ford's Australian future. This was written by Bruce Newton. St Heliers Bay is one of the most affluent waterside suburbs you might find in Sydney, Melbourne, San Francisco or Barcelona. In this case, it's in Auckland, New Zealand. The coffee shops are doing a roaring Sunday morning trade, the joggers are out in force, as are the dog walkers and a multitude of cyclists. I might say, dear readers, or dear listeners, I should say, this was 10th of March, pre-COVID-19. So we won't, that at least won't get a mention. Hey, that's good news. Anyway, back to the story. Picking her way through a throng in a white Mercedes convertible V8, its top appropriately down on this sunny Sunday morning, is Kay Hart, the president and CEO of Ford Australia, New Zealand. Soon she'll be driving the hour south to Pukekohe Motorsport Park to watch the supercars racing version of the Mustang GT Fastback in action. But right now, she's squeezed in some time for a photo shoot and a talk with Wheels magazine in the area where she grew up. I love it here, she says. The sea, the culture, the environment, the people, and just the general vibe. Hart's own vibe is happy and upbeat. She has a deep, frequent chuckle, a big smile, and a remnant trace of a Kiwi fish and chops accent. People who know her well insist she's not only smart as hell, but genuine with it. Hart has heart. She also has a strong constitution. She's been in South Africa on a dealer trip prior to Pukekohe, pit stopping at Ford's Melbourne HQ briefly on the way through, then after New Zealand it was back to South Africa for a wedding, Melbourne and then Sydney for the launch of the Mustang R-Spec, and then on to Bathurst to witness Scott McLaughlin and Alex Premay's victory in the epic 1,000-kilometre battle, the Bathurst 1000. The international travel is not so typical in such a short space of time, but I do try to get out within Australia as much as possible to visit dealers and customers, she says, when we catch up at Mount Panorama to complete the interview started on the beachside park bench at St Heliers. Hard is a rarity, being the female boss of a car company in Australia. She's also the first Ford local leader in a decade to be operating in anything like clean air. Her predecessor, Graham Wickman, closed the Campbellfield and Geelong manufacturing plants, and his predecessor, Bob Graziano, announced they were closing. Before him, Martin Barella's reign was dogged by questions of local manufacturing survival. Hart, who took over the job 16 months ago, has the chance to go beyond all that. But not, she explains, by starting all over again. One of the most important things, when she started, was to provide the team with stability in terms of direction and strategy, and exactly what are we doing as a team, Hart says. So the customer comes first, and the relationship with the dealer network has to be as strong as possible. It's all the more important in a new vehicle retailing environment that is in steady decline in Australia. Overall, according to VFAX, sales are down 7.9% year on year. Ford's is declining among the more resilient of the majors at 8.2%, but it's still a decline. It's very clear the industry we are operating in at the moment is a tough one, Hart says. It's obvious well down year on year and is continuing to decline. So it's making sure we have the right strategy within the operating environment, which has become a lot tougher. Customer first continues to be our key point. It doesn't matter, big industry or small industry, the customer first is still the key to us. As an aside, you could say Kay is talking the talk and walking the walk.
I'm walking, hear the need, and I'm talking. But you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be. I'm waiting for your company.
You betcha. Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Domino. However, we digress, which we seem to do on this show a bit. Anyway, customer first is still key to us. So what does that mean? Well, in product terms, look at the R-Spec and range of Wildtrak X Limited Editions. A supercharged factory-backed Mustang has been a missing opportunity for years, and the X sits atop the dual cab range, where buyer interest seems insatiable. Hart says these are two examples of how Ford is changing the more rapidly and specifically responding to customer demands in the post-manufacturing era. That's the fundamental shift from Ford in the standpoint in terms of what we are trying to do in the market and how our strategy is playing there. Hart is impressively good at staying on message. It's not a surprise. Car company executives are very well trained in this sort of stuff these days, and Hart is clearly good. But her steady rise up the Ford ladder over the past 21 years suggests she has more talents than simply delivering positive sound bites. For years, she's been identified internally as a star on the rise. Her involvement with the Ford and the car industry began almost by accident. A Bachelor of Business Management and Marketing at Auckland University of Technology, she exploited her father's extensive contacts in business to organise a month-long internship. It could have been an insurance company, or a furniture company, or a fast food retailer. It ended up being Ford of New Zealand. To be fair, there was a pretty strong likelihood it would be the Blue Oval. That's because her father, John Hart, was coach of the All Blacks rugby union team, and Ford was, and is, still a major sponsor. I absolutely got hooked. I loved it, Hart recalls of her Ford internship. I had so much fun, and I loved the passion. The passion for the brand and the industry as a whole. It got me hooked. So I called up about a month after my internship finished, well, not even a month, I don't think, and I got put onto the Ford graduate program, and so then I never looked back. 8 years at Ford New Zealand topped out as National Sales Manager. Then for nearly 2 years it was Marketing Vice President of Ford Thailand. After that came 4 more years in Shanghai as Asia Pacific and Africa Field Operations and Dealer Development Director. She became Managing Director of Ford Group Philippines in 2013 and moved to Global Headquarters in Dearborn, USA in 2016. First in a marketing role, then to work on Team Edison, the global battery, electric and vehicle operation. She returned down under in July 2018. So why such a traveller? I think the opportunities given to me by Ford, and I love travel, Hart responds. I love change, I love culture, and I love learning. So to me, travel with all the different jobs that I've held at Ford has given me the opportunity to do all that, and I loved it. Hart doesn't throw up the shutters entirely, but she's definitely a private person. So when the subject turns to her father, still a nationally known figure in New Zealand, and her upbringing, she is not so much taciturn as truncated. The smile's still there, but the details are limited. John Hart's tenure as coach ended when the All Blacks didn't win the 1999 Rugby World Cup. It was a wretched time for him. At a horse race soon after, he resigned. He was booed and spat upon, and beer was thrown over a horse he owned. It was a tough year, she said quietly. But she rejects the suggestion she hit the road with her job to escape the public bubble her father lived in, or she protects her privacy for the same reason. I think for me, Dad being in the public has provided a lot of positives, she counters. There have been negatives, but they've all been learning things. It didn't shape what I wanted to do in terms of getting away from the public, but I think it shaped who I am from what I've learnt growing up. I value my privacy and I value my time with my family and friends, but I'm not actively hiding anything or keeping to myself. I do value it and I think I have a very close role between home and work. Watching Hart from a distance at the Pukekohe and Bathurst supercar races, there's no doubt she's comfortable in her skin. She interacts easily with whomever it might be, McLaughlin or billionaire team owner Roger Penske. A fan seeking an autograph, it might be in a rugby stadium, it might not be in a rugby stadium, but it's a sporting venue and it's in her blood. No question she's been tested by the Mustang's turbulent, albeit dominant, arrival in local motorsport in 2019. Parity fights, pit lane politicking and a fair degree of dissatisfaction emanating from World HQ as things threaten to go pear-shaped prompted her to express dismay with the situation in a media interview. We've been disappointed with some of the discussions that have happened, no doubt, she said, in April at the height of the controversy. Not fire and brimstone exactly, but Ford is a conservative company that hates discussing any of its issues in public. So the action of speaking out carried even more weight than the words themselves. It's no surprise. Supercars has not tried to slow the Mustang down any further since then. Yes, challenging times, tough times, frustrating times throughout the year, Hart admits, but mostly successful. That's what we want to remember this year, for not the challenges, but the successes. Of course, neatly played, spin that message back to the positive, as Hart so often does. Away from public interactions with pesky journalists, Hart is described as inclusive yet decisive in business by those who deal with her. She's less acerbic and divisive than Wickman, who she names as a mentor, and certainly more charismatic than the dour Graziano. The constant smile can be deceptive, though. Hart's eyes can narrow and sharpen when something concerning her, even while the smile stays fixed in place. There have been critical moments in each of Hart's assignments that have helped her develop into the auto executive she is now. In Thailand, she learned how to do business in a foreign language. From Shanghai, she oversaw the rapid rollout of dealer networks. In China and India and the Philippines, she realised she loved running the show. In the USA, though, she finally really connected with driving.
work and work for years and years. You're always on the go. You never take a minute off, too busy making dough. Someday you say you'll have your fun when you're a millionaire. Imagine all the fun you'll have in your old rocking chair.
Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by.
That's all right, I think. Anyway, living in Asia for so long, I didn't do a lot of driving, she recalls. I didn't drive in the Philippines, Thailand or China. But in Michigan, because I could drive, I drove a lot. I went to the Michigan Upper Peninsula and it was amazing. I loved it. My first vehicle up there was an Explorer, and then I got into the Expedition, big to bigger, and then a Mustang convertible. And that got me hooked on the convertible, and my first car in Melbourne was back to the convertible. Her next company car is the Raptor, a wild, off-road focused version of the Aussie-developed Ranger Ute. Given the team will have it in Australia and the pride we have in Ranger and hanging out with those guys and learning about the vehicle and then getting the opportunity for them to take me through the real deals and engineering of it, I can't wait to drive it. We're going to go to the proving ground and really test out the vehicle. Arch says she's never experienced any negatives at Ford because of her gender. But she acknowledges that not every woman across the industry has been treated with fairness. With Danny Winter, the marketing director of Ford Australia, the company has a strong female public-facing outlook, as she and Hart are the two executives who talk to the media most often. In an industry where males dominate senior management positions, does a female perspective deliver an advantage? Well, I don't want to say that as a woman, you do things differently. But I think it helps. Having a diverse workforce is so critically important across all levels of the organisation in terms of doing things differently and understanding and connecting with your customer base, which is society in general. So to me, it's important to have a diverse workforce no matter at what level. Hart sips her takeaway coffee and looks out across the St Heliers Bay towards Rangitoto Island. It's a gorgeous view. Behind us, the Mustang is idling and her PR minder is signalling it's time to go. I never thought I'd be away for this long, Hart muses. I didn't expect to be away from home forever, but I love what I do. It's important to me as an individual. I need to have fun and enjoy what I do. But it's personal life or work life, so right now I'm enjoying it. I have a great passion for Ford and the industry. And then Hart smiles, chuckles, and moves on. It was pretty cool, hey? What a great person. How Kay Hart Will Save Ford's Australian Future. And that was written by Bruce Newton from drive.co.nz and originally appeared in Wheels magazine in March of this year. Staying with women in motorsport, we now go to the W Series, which is motor racing spreads its wings after outstanding debut season. And this again was written prior to COVID-19, so we're going to ignore the fact that it's probably not going to happen in 2020, but the series itself will return in 2021, and this is a story about what it's going to look like. And it's been written by Giles Richards from Motorsport magazine. When the all-female W Series was announced in 2018, no one expected it to be smooth sailing. Making waves in motorsport's boys' club was always rather the point. Yet few imagined the impact it would make. Going global in only its second season is remarkable. This week, the series was awarded the John Nicol Trophy of British Motor Racing and the British Motor Racing and Sports Car Club Awards, honouring the organisation considered to have made the most influential contribution to furthering motorsport. It joins the awards, the series has already been given from the UK Guild of Motoring Writers for its services to motoring and the Autosport Pioneering and Innovation Award. Quite a haul. after only one season. In its inaugural year, the W Series consisted of six races, all taking place at meetings of the German Touring Car Championship. These were in Europe and 20 drivers were competing. Britain's Jamie Chadwick took the title at the final race at Brands Hatch in August. At the opener in Hockenheim, the number of females making their way to the W Series paddock was notable. By Brands, there was a huge swathe thronging the cars and drivers. That the series has been successful was impossible to ignore. Criticised as unnecessary segregation by some, the series has almost completely silenced its detractors. Last year, the FIA confirmed it will award a super licence points to the top eight drivers this season. The championship winner will receive 15 to be able to race in Formula One. 40 are required. It's a major validation of the championship and a huge step up for the W Series, whose aim is ultimately to help women and help a woman driver reach Formula One. Shortly before the FIA confirmed the points, the series announced that its 2020 calendar will consist, well, I guess that's 2021 now, folks, will consist of eight races, six with DTM, but significantly the final two to be held at the Formula One meetings at the US and Mexico Grand Prix. From having a handful of women drivers competing at senior level worldwide 3 years ago to a 20-woman grid at a Formula One race is extraordinary. Last year's drivers, such as Britain's Alice Powell, Fabien Wouwon of Liechtenstein and the American Sabre Cook, acknowledged that they had revitalised careers halted through lack of cash. Not only will all three compete again in the W Series in 2020-21, but they will have also secured drives in other championships this year. Cook, who is 25 and from Colorado, was unequivocal. "Since W Series came along, it was all or nothing for me," she said. "It saved my driving career and has been a key thing in my life." The series' success has not happened in a vacuum. Women's football, rugby, cricket have been exponential increases in popularity in the past decade, attracting a young audience not bound to the tired shackles of preconception. These sports have generated a momentum which now seems inexorable. It's about promoting women to fulfil their potential and show the world that they are capable of doing anything, Bond Muir said. If we can help women around the world achieve that, well, I don't want to appear arrogant, but I think we can have an impact right across that very same world. Giles Richards writes, W Series motor racing spreads its wings after outstanding debut season, and it was in the Motorsport magazine. Written in February 2020.
Memory. I want to live fast, love hard, die young, and leave a beautiful memory. Don't want slow walking or sad singing.
Well, live fast. We certainly agree with the first part of that song. Thank you, Mr. Farron Young. And now we've got time for just a couple of fast women who are racing currently. This is from Car Style magazine. From the 6th of July 2015, so it's a couple of years ago, and it's written by the motor staff. Motorsport has traditionally been a male pursuit, but that hasn't stopped these fast femmes ascending the ranks and kicking quite a lot of male ass in the process. Michelle Mouton is an Audi driver. She has won three championship rallies in 1982, finishing up for the title behind Walter Rall. She won 162 stages in World Rally Championship and went on to win Twin Pikes Peak in 84 and 85 and the German Rally Championship in 86, a motorsport hero. Danica Patrick. Patrick's emotional win in the 2008 Indy Japan 300 crowned her most successful woman in US open wheel racing ever. These days, she's racing in NASCAR. Her best moment so far, pole at the 2013 Daytona 500. Patrick is fifth highest paid female athlete in the world. How about one from Australia? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Simona Silvestro, Di Silvestro. At just 25, Swiss racer Di Silvestro is racing at the front of IndyCars in America with the best finish of second in last year's Grand Prix of Houston. She's now eyeing Formula One. Eyeing Formula One in 2015, having tested a Grand Prix car for the first time with Sauber at Fiorano in Italy. She, of course, is famous for driving in the Nissan Altima in the Australian Supercars Championship events and has been for the past 3 or 4 years. However, in 2020, she's moved on to other things in the motorsport world. We've also got Molly Taylor, who was inspired by Mouton. The 26-year-old Taylor from Sydney was ranked number one female rally driver in the world last year. That was 2015. This year, she's rallying a Citroën DS3 in the Junior World Rally Championships and trying to crack the WRC or World Rally Championships. So, there we go. They may be a couple of years old now, these statements, but fast women, all of them, hey? They give the guys a run for their money every single time they're out on the track. And that was by the motoring staff of Car Style magazine, a look at some quick pen bios of a couple of very fast women. I hope you've enjoyed our show this afternoon. We talked to Kay Hart, who is a very interesting person and a very successful woman in Australian New Zealand business, and well worth a bit of an in-depth look at this afternoon. I think with COVID-19, all of us are not going to be spared any problems, and I'm sure the motor industry will suffer quite hard as well. My understanding is the slowdown in retail sales is going to be a real problem moving forward, but I'm confident that they've got the right management there at Ford. And then we had a quick look at fast, very fast women and the W Series, which is going to come to its full force in probably 2021 over a few rounds of the championship. So we'll keep you up to date with what's happening there. Thanks very much for your company this afternoon. Show is written and produced in the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. I'm Richard Lyon. You've been listening to 30 Laps with Dick. And thanks very much for your company. And until next week, hopefully next week, bye for now.